Langdon with the breeze from the Stanley Street end. Big shout, he's got in! He's out, what a breakthrough, Craig McDermott getting the edge. That's one for two at the Gabba.
The perfect outswinger there from McDermott.
McDermott got in! Yes, beautiful catch. That's now three for three at the Gabba. McDermott bowling, perfect line to the left-hander.
Oh, yes. How many times did we see that? Craig McDermott, Billy the Kid, 71 tests for Australia. He took 291 wickets at 28, 138 ODIs for 203 scalps at 24. With that outswinger, his chief weapon. Look, he might have had us two for none here, Kane. But on the third time of asking with Craig, we've
got him.
Got him. Billy the Kid, welcome to SEN.
Yeah, how you going, boys? Sorry about that. Just caught up with a couple of meetings and, anyway. Never mind.
Hey, it's all good. To be honest with you, Craig, this countdown has given us an excuse to play some great Aussie moments. And we revisited Steve Waugh's stunning catch at the G in that 89 day nighter against the Windies. Now, Tugger's obviously revered for that catch up against the side screen, Merv Hughes bearing down. But what should get far more acknowledgement is the fact that none of that would have happened at all if not for your stunning slower ball that bamboozled Roger Harper.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, I've wanted to talk about that for many a year, but Steve always takes the limelight. So, you know, it's one of those things. No, it was a great catch from Steve. It's back in the days when you could run around the side screen and we'd jump over the fence and catch the ball.
Yeah, so, exactly.
And back in the 50s.
Yeah. So you saved your best for England too, it must be said. So it's timely that we have you on. And England actually last night released their team for the first test. And Jimmy Anderson isn't in it. Clearly the most successful fast bowler of all time is underdone. But how happy would the batsman in that Aussie dressing room be, do you think, Craig, particularly given the conditions it looks like we'll get up there?
I don't think that they'll be sort of that worried about Jimmy, to be honest, because it's really the Duke ball in English conditions that he really bowls super well in. And touch wood, I'm relentless. Don't really want to say this, but he'll probably get wickets in the second test. But he hasn't bowled well in Australia in any series. So, and if he's underdone, well, you know, that's one of their decisions. But They've got some other good bowlers. Broad's right up there as one of the world's best bowlers. So they've got Stokes and so forth. So, you know, they've got a good attack. They've got a good batting line up across the board. So
the toss is always interesting. We just spoke to Jared Waitley about that and perhaps each captain maybe wanting to bowl first but not being brave enough to make the call if they win the toss. The conditions up there, Craig, and the thought of what it may produce today?
Yeah, you really just got to get through that first session in Brisbane and then it flattens out beautifully, and probably the second day is probably the best to bowl. So it's just one of those things. Every time we, even when I was coaching the Australian team, we'd look at it and have a bit of a green tinge and then we'd just bat. So I think Australia would win the toss and bat, even though, you know, we've got the great bowling attack that we've got. And Nathan Lyon will turn the ball on day one because it'll be a bit tacky, all that sort of stuff. And I think England will go through the same thought process and bat as well.
We're hearing that Adam Gilchrist will present Alex Carey with his baggy green this morning. Now, your first test was back in 84 against the West Indies, where you did take six wickets. The nerves of that moment and every cricketer's dream have been presented with that baggy green.
Yeah, mine got sent in the mail, actually, but one of those things. I didn't really know I was playing until sort of 20, 25 minutes before the game started. AB went out to toss and ran back past me and said, "You're in, mate. Good luck." And that was it.
That's it.
So that's the way they did it in those days. There's not the fanfare, which they deserve the fanfare. They get it. It's an important moment in your cricketing life, and it's great the way they do that in all three formats now. So, and for him, Alex Carey, to have Adam Gilchrist, such a legend for Australia with the gloves and the bat, to present his cap to him is sensational.
Where is your baggy green currently?
It's sitting in at the top of my cupboard with some of my other memorabilia. So, I've got a little bit, but I haven't got a massive amount anymore.
Hey, Craig, professional sport has come such a long way, not just sports science and everything around that, but even just coaching when it comes to professional cricket. Now, there was never any such thing as a bowling coach in your day, and you've done two stints of that with the Aussie team, of course, but I was struck by an anecdote where you'd played 41 tests when the late and great Ray Linwell gave you an enormous piece of wisdom, didn't he, in it? And it pretty much shaped the remainder of your career.
Yeah, it did. I think it might have been, it actually would have been before 41 tests, I reckon. But it was quite early in my career, and Ray Lim was in the Cricketers Club having a casual beer, as he did, in his suit. And we were having a set of wicket after we'd been rolled by, I think it was by New Zealand. And he came out of the middle, and I was bowling off my long run, and he said, "Put your fingers on the paint, son. It'll make it a lot easier for you to swing the ball consistently." And I had both my fingers pretty close together on the seam, and I put them out on the paintwork and just angled the seam a little bit. Changed my life, and obviously just getting the length right after that. And the world was my oyster after that, and staying fit and bowling well. But that piece of advice was, just gold.
And you were great far more often than the opposite. But did Bob Simpson have something called the naughty boy nets in your time as well?
That's exactly what we were doing out in the middle that particular day. That was the naughty boy centre wicket practice.
Right.
So if we got towed, we were sitting, out in the nets, doing some extra practice or extra fielding or whatever. But, as hard as that was to deal with, it shaped us into a very, very good cricketing team.
We've been discussing that this morning, the role of the coach of the Australian cricket team and Justin Langer and the pressure that he has been under. What makes a good coach?
Oh, look, I think Simo was a good coach. He was a good people manager, and he knew how to talk to another person who he knew would talk to you about your game, and vice versa, he'd talk to you as well. So he was a tough taskmaster. He turned us into the best fielding side in the world. There's no doubt about that, but he just knew how to handle people. Sometimes he didn't like it, what he said, but you just got on with it and trained hard. And, again, we became one of the best teams in the world around that era.
Mm. We're having a chat to Australia's leading fast bowler of a strike bowler in the 1990s, Craig McDermott, thanks to Foxtel, Australia's only dedicated sport 4K Ultra HD channel. Craig, your relationship with Alan Border, our AB statue went up at the Gabba yesterday, which made me think of you too. There's been some infamous conversations that have lived on for a very long time. How was your relationship with AB? Oh, we might have lost him. You there, Craig? We got you back?
You dropped out.
Ah, we got you. We got you. I'm not sure if you caught that question.
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Alan Border's statue went up yesterday at the Gabba. So it got me thinking about your relationship with AB as a captain. There's some infamous pieces of audio that have stood the test of time. But how was your relationship with AB?
I was only showing a couple of my business partners that video yesterday, believe it or not, but getting a good cackle out of it. I don't know what the kerfuffle was, really, because I wanted to go to the pizza and AB wanted to go to McDonald's. That was the problem.
It was the old next plane home. I think you were more angry at yourself, though, weren't you, reading back upon that particular tour game?
Yeah, I was busting to not play the next county game, so I wanted to bowl well, and I was bowling a few no balls, and I'd broken Brian Rose's arm in the first innings, and I just wasn't happy with myself. And I just grabbed I bowled a wide and a no ball that game, that particular over, and I snatched my hat off the umpire, and I was walking back to final, and I was spewing at myself. And AB just picked the wrong time to come down and talk to me and follow me down to the thing when I had the shits and he had the shits. So it imploded a little bit for about 10, 15 seconds, but it's remained a bit of commentary and banter for a long period of time. But my relationship with AB was very good. So he was a good kid, good skipper, again, a tough taskmaster. He led from the front, and he deserves to be immortalised out the front of the Gabba, no doubt about that, from that point of view. 160-something, 63 or 65 test matches. It's an unbelievable feat.
Absolutely. So from one skipper to the next, and Pat Cummins and the demands of a fast bowler and captaining his country, Craig, how do you think you'll go?
I think Pat's a pretty smart cookie. We've got a good bowling lineup. Nathan Lyon will obviously take a fair few of those overs out of the sails of Paddy Cummins, but he's got to have to make the right decisions if he's bowling well, when to bring himself off and all that sort of stuff, so he doesn't cook himself. But I'm sure that he's going to be able to do that quite well. And with Steve Smith, his VC, I watched an interview from Pat last night. He was talking about Smithy moving fields and stuff. If he's a bit cooked from the previous over or whatever, and I'm sure that will work very, very well in Pat's mind.
Craig, just before we let you go, we're nearly out of time. I've got to ask you about Merv Hughes, who you formed such a great partnership with the Fruit Fly. Tell us something about Swerve and Mervin.
We're in New Zealand in 1993, actually, and our physio, Errol Walcott, Hooter, who's very well known, and he was sort of starting to clamp down. We were heading from New Zealand straight to the West Indies, to England for the Ashes in 93. And Simo was putting the acid on a few boys to lose some weight, and Swervin only ever carried the odd 1 or 2 kilos, obviously. He came out of the shower with the towel sort of just barely wrapping around that great physique of his. And Errol had been down to the local hardware store and bought a flash pair of new scales, nice glass scales. So everybody had to do the weigh-in and the calipers and, you know, all that sort of stuff that we were just introducing in those days. So Merv came out of the shower with a towel on, and Huda said to Merv, just come over here and jump on the scales. And Swervin said, no drama. So he's run up about 3 or 4 metres, jumped about 0.5 metre in the air and come down on the scales and smashed him. So he said, that's the end of the weigh-in, boys.
Oh, it's another time. And it's a time we remember so well. Hey, Craig, great to have you on. Appreciate you sharing some of your insights and also your memories this morning. Thanks a lot.
No problem, boys.
Craig McDermott there, former Aussie quick, former Aussie bowling coach, and a great character of the game. And a reminder, the Vodafone Melbourne test starts December 26, Boxing Day, of course, at the MCG. Seat selling fast, search Ashes tickets. Well, it was worth the wait for him, Kane, I reckon.
Absolutely worth the wait. I've heard a lot of skin fog and weight stories and athletes trying to use tactics to either get themselves lower or to dodge them. I haven't heard anything quite like that.
Foxtel is the only place to watch every ball of the Vodafone Ashes series. It's in 4K Ultra HD.